May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins for ever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin wilfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May God bless to us that reading of his holy word. May he teach us how to pray. Most holy, almighty, most merciful Lord God in heaven, oh, we would seek to come and approach rightly before thee this evening. Oh, we do pray that we may know thy drawing power upon us here this evening, that we may be drawn unto thee. Lord, do draw us to that throne of grace. Do draw us to that place that is made for sinners, that place where we may find mercy. Oh, may we come to that throne of grace in knowledge, in faith. And may we come in humble repentance. May we come pleading that name which is above every name. Oh, we would seek to come before thee, a most holy, almighty God in heaven, through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus, that way which has been made for poor sinners to come. We would come just as we are. And Lord, it's not easy for us. Oh, for our very nature is that we would stay away. Our very nature is that we would make ourselves right. But Lord, do bring us to that place of real prayer. Do bring us to thy feet. O Lord, do bring us to our right minds, that we may be truly awakened by thy Spirit to see the needs that we have as sinners, to find, Lord, that there is no acceptance in and of ourselves, to see our righteousnesses as filthy rags, and to find ourselves undone. But, oh, we do pray that we may be led to thy dear Son, the sinner's hiding place, that refuge. And, oh, may we come in his name and come boldly. Oh, we do pray that we may come bold in knowledge and in faith, that we are coming to a king. And may we come with large petitions. May we not limit the Holy One of Israel. May we know that sin of unbelief taken from us. Oh, may we not mock thee in our assembly here this evening. Oh, we do pray that thou pour out thy Spirit upon us. May there be a spirit of grace and of supplications, and may we look on him whom we have pierced. Oh, draw us to that mercy seat, sprinkled with blood. Oh, that blood, Lord, which cries out for mercy. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Grant us, Lord, that hiding place. May we seek that refuge which is only to be found in the dear Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary. Lord, we do pray, open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, and Lord, do speak to our souls. Lord, we do pray that we may know thy gracious work within, a pulling down of all those false props, those false hopes. May we know that stripping out, that stripping away work. And oh, we do pray that thou would build us into that building, not made with hands, whose builder and maker is God. May we be part of that body of Christ. May we be made living stones in Salem's streets above. Grant us, Lord, that work of grace. Lord, do take each one of us as individuals and form us for thy praise. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may know thy work. Leave us not, Lord, pass us not by. Leave us not, Lord, to a false hope, a false religion. Oh, but make us real, make us right, make us ready for a never-ending eternity. We come before thee, a holy, heart-searching God. We ask, we plead for a spirit of confession. Oh, we pray, Lord, make us truly repentant. Grant, Lord, that we may know, oh, what it is to truly pour out our hearts before thee. Lord, may we come and empty the tent of our hearts at the feet of Jesus. May we hold nothing back, hide nothing in our tents, but may there be that uncovering, that confession of sin. Oh, we would prove, dear Lord Jesus, by thy mercy, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're full of it, Lord. Oh, our iniquities testify against us. We add daily to the multitude of our failings and sins. Oh, we do pray to be washed in the Redeemer's blood. Nothing else, Lord, can cleanse us, such poor sinful creatures as we. We need the precious blood of Jesus. We need that cleansing fountain. We need that washing, that renewing. Oh, Lord, we need thy mighty work of grace to be made known to us. Lord, do take us, purge us, and make us right. Oh, we do pray, lead us to thyself. Lord, be with any that are walking a path of difficulty, trouble or affliction. Lord, may there be a gracious sanctifying effect. Lord, we do pray that our troubles, our sorrows, our distresses may be used to bring us to thy feet. Lord, we do pray that thou art sanctify and use the things that we pass through for the good of our never-dying souls. We may learn of thee. We may be taught. We may be led by thy Spirit. Oh, we do pray for any that are feeling that burden of sin, any who feel guilt and condemnation this evening. Lord, we do pray that thou would lead them to thyself. May there be a looking unto Jesus. May there be that laying all at his feet. Oh, we do pray, bless seeking, longing souls. May they find that forgiveness, the pardoning of sin, the peace which comes in believing. Lord, we do pray that guilt and condemnation may be swept away in that river of mercy and love which flows from the throne of God in heaven. Oh, may it flow to each soul through the Lord Jesus Christ. May we know peace with God, which passeth all understanding. Lord, do bless any with particular things in their pathway at present. Oh, may we know that word, the cause that is too hard for thee. Bring it to me, and I will hear it. Oh, we know, Lord, that it was spoken concerning thy dear servant Moses. No, but may we see a greater than Moses, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, may we come and lay those causes that are too hard for us at the feet of Jesus. May we prove that he cares for us. May he undertake our cause. Lord Jesus, take our poor prayers, our petitions, and present them at the Father's throne. Obtain mercy for us and grant us those answers of peace. Lord, be with any that seek direction. Guide and direct them, Lord. Oh, may there be that looking, that waiting. Lord, we do pray, speak a word in season. May there be a voice behind saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Lord, we do pray, lead us away from making wrong steps, taking wrong steps. Bring back the wanderers, the backsliders. Lord, do awaken those that are dead in sin. Lord, we ask that thou wilt perform thy wondrous work in the hearts of each one. May there be a calling by grace. May there be many brought to testify. Hear what the Lord has done for me. Oh, we do pray that thou remember the church and congregation here. Do bless the deacons, Lord. Grant them thy gracious help and wisdom and strength to fulfill their office here. Do bless the church. Lord, we do pray that thou would bind them together in the bond of peace. May they be blessed with additions to the church. Gather in from the congregation, we pray, and from this neighbourhood. And may there be many who have to come and testify what the Lord has done. Oh, we do pray that thou would look upon this cause of truth and bless them indeed. Lord, do favour the congregation with thy work of grace among them. And may there be the opening of the blind eyes and the unstopping of the deaf ears. And may those that are walking in darkness be led into the light and liberty of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray, have mercy upon us each. Bless us, Lord, as we approach this time of year when we particularly think upon thy birth at Bethlehem. And oh, may we know times of meditation. May we be brought to consider him. Oh, we do pray that in this time of the year that we may have those moments to stop, to pause, to consider, to ponder upon the things that were done. Oh, we do pray, Lord, lead us to Bethlehem. And may we trace out the life of our dear Saviour from Bethlehem to Bethany, as he lifted up his hands and blessed them and ascended into heaven. Oh, we do pray, oh, that we might know something of the dear Saviour in our hearts this time of year. Lord, do favour us. Remember us, O Lord, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Lord, we do pray, have mercy upon us. Remember those, Lord, in particular need. Each heart knows its own bitterness. Thou knowest, Lord, that each case, each heart is known to thee. We do pray that those that are feeling cast down, those, Lord, maybe lonely, burdened, those that are troubled, particularly with the events in our country at present, those, Lord, who are troubled with the virus which is around us, the difficulties it brings, the separation. Oh, Lord, do sanctify it. Draw near, we pray. Oh, be that God nigh at hand and not afar off. Oh, we do pray that there might be some sweet moments amongst these solemn judgments. Lord, we do pray that there might be that awakening of many. Thy judgments are abroad. Lord, there are throughout this land and throughout the earth. We live in solemn times. The Church of God, Lord, is brought low. Oh, we have sinned, we have grieved thee. Oh, we do pray that thou art return. Arise for our help. Oh, Lord, we do pray, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy. Grant us, Lord, thy salvation. Oh, to turn and smile upon us. Shine upon the Church of God here below. Leave not our souls destitute. Oh, we do pray for that, that we might be brought into green pastures beside still waters. Oh, that we might know what it is for the Lord to delight himself amongst the Church of God, to come amongst his garden and, oh, to eat of his pleasant fruits. Grant, Lord, then, an outpouring of thy Spirit. Lord, how needful we are of the Holy Spirit's work. It is time, O Lord, for thee to work. We are in sad and solemn days, and thou knowest, Lord. We do pray that it might please thee to arise and shine with light and liberty and love upon the Church of God here below. Bring us into better days, days of true spiritual prosperity. Lord, we do pray that the Church of God might travail in prayer. There might be that wrestling in prayer. Lord, there might be that confession. Lord, there might be the opening of our eyes to see where we've sinned and grieved thee. And Lord, that thou would appear and deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. So, Lord, do have mercy. Build up the wall around thy church. Lord, do keep out the little foxes that spoil the vine. Grant thy sovereign protection, we pray. Lord, do glorify thyself in our midst. And may we know a day of the Son of Man. Oh, we do pray, have mercy upon us. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to thy word. Oh, we do pray that thou would help us each to hear. May there be something for us, something to take home, something to beat out, to live on in the coming days. Oh, we do pray, be not silent to us, lest if thou be silent to us, we be like them that go down into the pit. Oh, but may we hear thy voice. May we receive thy word in faith. May there be the power, the unction of thy Spirit May we lose sight of each other. May we see no man save Jesus only. May we worship thee, praise thee, and adore. Oh, we do pray, take away our every sin. Forgive our many failings, the poor weakness of our prayers. Lord, forgive us the weakness of our faith. Lord, forgive anything that we've asked amiss. We ask that thou would have mercy upon us. Send us not empty away. Fill our hearts with thy love. We ask for the pardon of every sin. Lord Jesus, in thy name, amen.
Hymn number 685. When Noah with his favoured few was ordered to embark, 8 human souls, a little crew, entered on board his ark. Hymn 685.
turn with me once again to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you again from verse 37. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, the whole of mankind was rendered into an impossible situation. Sin had entered the world, and death by sin. And man is born dead in trespasses and in sins. And for man, he's in an impossible situation. His heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. His thoughts are not pure, are not holy. His actions are not pure and holy. But the law of God demands a spotless, sinless life. That the word of God declares the soul that sinneth against God must die. And not just die the natural death, but suffer an eternity of punishment in hell. Because the wages of sin is death. And for you and I, except we be born again of the Spirit of God, we are under this dreadful condemnation. It is how we are all born. We're born dead in trespasses and in sins. This is what the Word of God declares. The Apostle Paul speaks of it. He speaks of it in this term. We are dead in trespasses and sins. It is impossible. An impossible situation for us. You know, when the Lord began to work in my heart, I was under this conviction of sin, which brought me to want to be better, want to live my life better, want to do right things, good things, want to not sin. But we had to prove. I had to prove, and many have had to prove. What the hymn writer says, the more I strove against its power, sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. Making all sorts of resolutions, having failed, having sinned, and knowing something of a regret in my heart, I promised the Lord I would do better, would live better. I promised I would not sin again in that way. Yeah, if you like, it came from a right desire. But I was looking the wrong way. And how many are in such a state? There's some measure of conviction in your heart. I would do God. I would do good. I would please God. I would live my life better. I would not sin. But we're still looking to ourselves, to the performing of it. It's impossible, you know. It's impossible. You know, there's only one man. And there will only be one man in the entire history of mankind. that has done the impossible, not sinned. And who is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law. It means he was under the law of God, under all the obligations of the law of God. He was able to be tempted, made a real man, but a holy human nature, free from sin, actual and original. What do we mean by that, actual and original? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, all of their descendants by birth are born with original sin, a corrupt nature. We're depraved, we're sinful. Our starting point is sinful. That's our, if you like, our default position. We're in sin, we are sin. And in varying degrees in each person, there's a love of sinning. Original sin is within us. And then we live our lives and we go on to commit actual sin. And so we actually sin. And we take part in sin. And we find a delight and a pleasure in sin. And we sin and sin and sin. We are original and we have actual sin. But the Lord Jesus, free from sin. Oh, made a real man. You can read of his temptations. Satan buffeted him, tempted him, assailed him. More than you and I will ever know. He was in all points, says the Word of God, tempted like as we are. Oh, do you believe it? This is this glorious God-man, the man Christ Jesus. He put himself in that way, made himself a little lower than the angels, was tempted by Satan. He came down from heaven, was born at Bethlehem. He was made like unto his brethren. He became a real man. Real man, that he might do the impossible, live a sinless, spotless life. Oh, this is impossible for you and me. Spoke a little this morning of how few things these days are impossible. That's impossible. You know, you can't even do one day, and neither can I. Not one day. Without sinning. It's a shocking thing, isn't it? We who should know better. But we can't help ourselves. We have sin mixed with all we do. Even our best attempts of worship are mixed with sin. We're surrounded by it. So Satan assails us. You know what it's like. You sit in chapel and maybe it's time of prayer, and I'm praying, and how many our minds are wandering. You know, if it wasn't for me praying out loud, my mind would be wandering. You know, sometimes in my own house, in my own time of quiet, I have to pray out loud, because as I'm praying, I find myself wandering. So I have to actually sit and pray out loud. Because we're so full of sin. And we, left to ourselves, we cannot resist it. We cannot keep ourselves. Satan, he comes in subtly. He comes in with little distracting thoughts. He doesn't always come in with great, dreadful sin. It's those little things, those little distractions. You pick the Word of God up to read it. What happens? The phone rings. Somebody knocks at the door. He's there. The Antichrist, disrupting us, tempting us, filling our hearts day by day, more sin. Oh, the impossibility it is for us not to sin. Is it? You know, but it's not an excuse. I'm not making excuses for you or for me this evening. I'm stating a few facts, but it's no excuse. Oh, the Word of God is clear. There won't be any finger pointing at the Lord at that great day. Well, I was born in sin. No, there's no ground to blame God for our failings. We have sinned. We need to be brought to see it in that light, to own them as ours. It's to be brought to recognize it. And it is the work of the Lord to do this in our hearts, to bring ownership of our sins. You know, when we may be found out in sin when we're younger, what do? We blame our brother or we blame our sister. We always point away from ourselves, point to someone else, point to an excuse, point to a reason why, rather than I have sinned. You know, that's what David, that dear man of God, you know, he sinned, didn't he, with Bathsheba, and one sin led to another sin, and he seemed so blind to it, he seemed possessed with it. And it wasn't just for a day, it was for a while. But the Lord had an appointed time. And the messenger of the Lord, Nathan, told him that parable. That rich man who took that poor man's sheep and killed it. The only one he had, and he killed it so his other friend could eat. David said, "Where is he? Oh, he should be put to death. Thou art the man. Thou art the man." It's like David's eyes are opened. The scales fall off his eyes. Thou art the man. And it's like an arrow in his heart. Thou art the man. I've sinned against the Lord. He'd sinned against Uriah. Taken his wife. I've sinned against the Lord. He's looking higher. I have sinned against the Lord. Oh, may there be that conviction in your heart and mine. I've sinned against the Lord. Ownership. You'll own them one day. Oh, you might spend all your life. What a solemn, sad thing. All your life. Shrugging it off. Denying it. You'll own them one day. What a sad, sorry day that will be. It'll break your heart. Stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I have sinned. No room, no ground to repent there, beloved friends. No room. Too late. I have sinned. Oh, that conviction of sin. Ownership. God be merciful to me, a sinner. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's impossible for you to not sin. It's impossible for you to blot out one of your sins. It's a solemn thing to think about this evening, isn't it? You cannot blot out one sin. If you could live sinlessly from now on, and you can't, but if you could, What about those of yesterday? What about those of last night? What about those of last week? What about those of last year? How solemn. Let him say, a beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. I tried that. Labouring to be better, striving to mend our ways. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. It is impossible. Let the word of God be read this evening. Said it was impossible. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin, and it's not possible for you to take away your sin. Not possible. Oh, but wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders. In the dear Lord Jesus Christ, it has pleased God to provide a way, to recover lost sinners from this lost, ruined state they're in by nature. It has pleased Almighty God to provide a suitable sin offering, a name to plead, a way whereby sin might be put away forever. To provide a cleansing, a recovery. Those lost sinners, lost, ruined, dead in sin, to be recovered, to be restored, to be brought back, to be brought in. We sing at this time of year, this Christmas season, don't we? Hymn 40 in our book. Lost souls to recover and form them afresh. This is hymn number 40, verse 2. Our wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh from sin to release us. That yoke so long worn, the holy child Jesus of Mary was born. To perform the impossible. To recover the lost. Because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. To recover them from that pit of despair, destruction. To recover them from their lost, ruined, guilty ways that they're born in. To restore them. To bring them back. To cleanse them. To purify them. To purge them from all sin. To make them acceptable. More than this, to make them holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of God, to make them and to restore them to their first estate, the first estate of Adam and Eve, to restore them to that place of perfection in Christ Jesus. Oh, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What a recovery. What a restoring. What precious sin-atoning sacrifice is that of the Lord Jesus that can restore guilty, wretched sinners to a state of perfection. Not this side of the grave, but that to come. But this side of the grave, they'll have a good hope through grace. Oh, they'll have times to taste the Saviour's love. Times where they know fellowship with him. Times when they're persuaded that he's able to keep that which they've committed unto him against that day. A good hope through grace. that the impossible has been made possible by the blood of Jesus. The law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comings thereunto perfect. But this man, oh, this man, what a difference. Oh, it was a shadowy. It was a shadow of good things to come. The Levitical priesthood, the Old Testament dispensation, the law of Moses, the ceremonial law, all of it pointing to Christ. That the blood that was offered, the sacrifices that were done year by year, the Day of Atonement, the shedding of blood, the confession of sin, had to be repeated over and over again, continually. There was no chair in the holiest of all. You think of the furniture that was listed in the Word of God, commanded by Moses to provide in the holiest of all. No chair, no sitting. No, the priest was to stand. This work was continual, without end. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Blood after blood after blood. And the Israelite, he wasn't saved by the blood of the bull or goat, or the sprinkling of an heifer, or the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean. It was what it pointed to, what it was a type of, what it was a shadowy type of, a good thing to come, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanses us from all sin. No, it wasn't the blood of the bull or the goat. It was what it set forth, what it symbolized, what was to come. And now the Lord Jesus had come, and the Apostle Paul here, he sets it away. Oh, there's a New Testament. Oh, there's one sacrifice. But this man, every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Finished. A perfect work. Completed. Justice is satisfied. Peace is made between God and his people. They were born dead in sin, far off from God. And who can bridge the gap? What can close? What can bring the two together? Oh, what a great gulf is between sinners dead in sin and almighty, pure and holy, heart-searching God. What a gulf. Oh, it's like the gulf between heaven and earth. What do we need? Oh, what's required? It's Jacob's ladder, isn't it? Oh, that which is the person of Jesus Christ. That someone to bridge that gap, that we might have access, and that there might be a channel of mercy. Oh, that that river of mercy might flow from the throne of God in heaven and flow down into the hearts of men, women, boys and girls. And carry with it the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sin, a pure river. Oh, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. All this impossible work made possible by the almighty, eternal, Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I wonder if there's anyone here this evening, and this is where you are. There's an impossible gulf that sits between you and God. You feel far off this evening. You know enough of yourself, enough about yourself. You're sick of yourself. And there's such a gulf. And time's ticking by. And week service by week service. Oh, time slips by. And the gulf is there. The gap is there. The void is there. Oh, and eternity's approaching. Days are slipping by. You're nearer eternity now than you were yesterday. Oh, but there's an aching void. And the world can't fill it. Oh, and you can't fill it with anything else. May the Lord lead you to himself. May you be brought to seek for his appearing. May you pray that he will shine with light and liberty into your heart. You're that place, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? With God, nothing shall be impossible. But I'm so far off. I'm so sinful. I'm so deserving of his judgments. I've sinned so basely. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You have to come. It's the ground of mercy, beloved friend. It won't be because you can deserve it. It's on the unmerited favour of Almighty God. It is mercy that is what is needed. You'll never bring anything that would make it, would buy it, would earn it, would make you deserve it. You've got to lay all that aside. Oh, however good you thought you might have been, you've got to lay that aside. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Could he come in here? Wash me, Saviour, or I die. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Are you doubting the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus? You know, beloved friends, if there's a sinner in this chapel this evening, that has proved the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, it's this poor sinner in the pulpit. Oh, if you want to see the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus, oh, there is a man in his pulpit, testimony to that precious blood. One of my close friends said after I gave my testimony to him 11 years ago, he said, if God can save Tim Parish, then he can save me. And he can, beloved friends. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's those thoughts rising up in your heart that you sinned so far, sinned yourself out of the covenant, Maybe there's a soul that's known something of the Saviour's love and has sinned and backslidden and wandered far off. And now, oh, can I return? Can I come again? Will he receive me again? It's everlasting love. Oh, it's everlasting mercy. That precious blood of Jesus, oh, how it cleanses from all sin. Oh, we limit, don't we? The work of Satan is to throw into the path of poor coming sinners memory of sin. Well, they would come, but you can't. You'll find rejection. He'll turn you away. Oh, may you be blessed with that living faith, simplicity of faith, that prays that simple prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. 50p sinner. 500p sinner. Oh, that precious blood. How it cleanses from all sin. Oh, the deepest sin-stained souls that are plunged in that fountain open to sin and for uncleanness. How they come out washed in the Redeemer's blood. The perfection that's demanded. A spotless, sinless life. What a hiding place the Lord Jesus is. Oh, have you had to thank him? So a few here this evening have had to thank the Father in heaven for providing his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, you've had to cling to him. Oh, what a hiding place. How suitable is life. Though yours is ruined with sin. Though it's wretched, isn't it? You're undone by sin. But in him, what a hiding place you find. What a robe of righteousness. Oh, it covers all of your imperfections. Takes away all of your shame. Removes all that guilt of a past ruined sinful life. The perfections of Jesus Christ. A perfect man. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But will he receive me? Will he receive me? Didn't the Pharisees throw it, cast it in his teeth? This man sitteth and eateth with sinners. May that be an encouragement to one or two here this evening. This man sitteth and eateth with sinners. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, if only we could see the love that he has for his people. Oh, if only we knew more and more of it. Reveal to us the love that is in him for his people. He's not ashamed of them. Oh, they're sadly, solemnly, they're often ashamed of him, but he is not ashamed. Not ashamed to call them brethren. Not ashamed of his people. He loves them dearly. And it's an everlasting love, a love which knows no end. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I have blotted them out as a thick cloud. A thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Paid the price. Borne the shame. borne all of sorrow, suffered in the sinner's place, put away that sin, died, and rose again. Oh, dying that death, laying down that spotless, sinless life, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. The law demanded perfection. Perfection was laid down. And at Calvary, bearing the sin of his people, the great sin bearer gave up the ghost. It is finished. No, on that resurrection morning, oh, that triumphant resurrection morning, come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here, he is risen. Triumphant, a grand, bold statement, the seal, confirmation, open witness that God was satisfied. Nothing was left to pay. All was finished. Every sin, every imperfection of the church of God, every fault, every failing, everything put away, blotted out, and dealt with. An everlasting way of salvation. Oh, an open way, access. The temple curtain rent from the top to the bottom. An access into the holiest of all by a new and living way. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, made new for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, may there be a drawing near by faith this evening. May there be some receiving hearts this evening. Oh, that embracing the dear Saviour of sinners, as he embraces you, as he draws you, as he wraps those arms of everlasting love around you. I have loved thee well, my child. Thou art mine. Your sins are many. Oh, but do not outweigh the mercy and love of God. Oh, may the Lord so take away those hearts of stone, give hearts of flesh, remove those hindrances, those obstacles, those barriers that we put up, that Satan puts up, that hinder the coming child of God. May the power of God be made known in our hearts. May the impossible be made possible by the mercy of God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. May God add his blessing. Amen.
The collections today are for the FGEA. God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Friday evening in place of Mr. Field, and Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach here next Lord's Day at 10:30 in the morning and 2:30 in the afternoon, and there will be no Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 693. Lord, let me feel the unction of thy love to cheer my heart and set my mind above. Give me a precious glimpse of thy sweet face and make me gladly all thy will embrace. Hymn 693.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.